And I think the consequences of this are going to be just as big. Like, when the crisis in Palestine is over, because it's not just the massive political developments in the United States, the massive sort of complete destruction, like a wrecking ball has been taken to all the traditional voting blocks and voting constituencies in the United States. Everything is in play now. And people are moving, people are shifting. Ideas that have been unchallenged for decades are being challenged. And we're finding out that these ideas didn't have the grounds to stand on their own merit this entire time. And people are confused. And I think that on the other side of this, we're going to ask how we could have ever believed the things that we believed before. Right, we're gonna ask that, and that's just one of the many consequences, one of the many outcomes I see from this crisis. And another thing that I see with this crisis, right, and this is the big thing that I talked about just a tad bit last week's episode, but I put my thoughts together on it now. Israel, this crisis between Israel and Palestine, and all the hysteria that has been whipped up about it, and sort of the forced engagement that Americans have had to deal with this crisis, I think that the end of this crisis will mark the end of the war on terror. And I say that not just because of the diplomatic developments where the Middle East is being united against us because it's being united against Israel, and where we keep supporting Israel, you know. And plus, in the event of a war with Iran or a regional coalition, we were going to be forcibly ejected from the region, and there's not much we could do to stop that. So there's that, right? But that possibility aside, there's another thing that I've noticed, right? In all this incessant usage of the thing that I've been talking for 2 hours and but one of the things that I've noticed is the constant and incessant usage of the exact same talking points which were used to justify the war on terror, and thus my conclusion / hypothesis that this war is going to mark the end of the war. People just aren't going to believe it. They're just not going to believe it. I'm looking at my audacity, and it sort of froze up on me for a second. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, people just aren't going to care anymore because of how overused these terms and these justifications are being right now. And it's all the same ones that we were told to believe with the war on terror. You know, and let me just run through a couple of them to refresh your memory, right? You know, remember, and before we go into it, you have to remember, the empire is under siege. So, like, we can... There's obviously the external diplomatic side of things that are working against the empire, but we shouldn't discount the internal domestic side of things, because the empire is under siege both externally and internally. So both angles are important for understanding its demise. But going back to these talking points, let us refresh our memories, shall we? You know, the terrorists, they hide behind civilians, so it's okay that we kill civilians because we're killing the terrorists. And if they just come out and stop being cowards, we can kill them directly. You know, they hide behind civilians, so we had to shoot that little grandma so we could get at Hamas, so we could get at the terrorists, right? You want to play Xbox? You want to play Xbox? You got to go bomb that little Iraqi kid for his oil. You gotta go bomb that little Iraqi kid. Did they hate us for our freedoms? Right, they had us for our freedoms. Remember, the attack on Israel wasn't just an attack on Israel; it was an attack on America, because they hate us the same. Right, remember that? Remember, they hate us for our freedoms. You know, no one talks about Afghanistan anymore. I guess they stopped hating us for our freedoms. but yeah, they hate us for our freedoms. Or they hide behind civilians. Oh, you can't negotiate with terrorists. That's what they say. That's why we can't ever have peace with them unless the terrorists surrender unconditionally. Then we can never have peace. We can never have peace. We can't negotiate. We can't talk with them. Don't look at the fact that Trump negotiated a ceasefire with the Taliban, of all people. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. You can't negotiate with the terrorists. Don't stop. Don't look at that. Just be at war. Just accept permanent war, okay? You can't negotiate with the terrorists. They're not rational actors who have their own interests. No, they are the terrorists. They are the terrorists. And we have to make them surrender unconditionally, just like Nazi Germany did. Because everything's just like Nazi Germany. Everything's just like World War II. I mean, we bombed civilians. Would you call Winston Churchill a war criminal for the civilians he killed fighting the Nazis? Would you call him a war criminal for the Dresden bombing? I mean, all this nonsense. All this, and of course, the infamous, we have to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here, right? All of this nonsense, all of these same talking points. The only one that I haven't heard so far is the power vacuum trash. That's the only one I haven't heard. That's the only one I haven't heard. But I think nine for ten is pretty damn good. I don't know how many I just ran through. But these are the same arguments. These are the same arguments, the same justifications, and it's just being played out over and over and over again every time these Israel simps take to the microphone. If it's not a war on terror justification, it's a World War II. Oh my God, it's World War II. You don't want to appease Hamas. Look at what appeasement did with Nazi Germany. The constant invocation of terrorism, terror, and of World War II as well, because everything's World War II. Russia invades Ukraine, it's World War II. Israel bombs the absolute fuck out of Gaza, oh, it's World War II. It's World War II, it's World War II, it's World War II. China, they're going to invade Taiwan, it's World War II. Everything's World War II, which means that nothing is World War II. And I think that in and of itself will have its own consequences, which might just delegitimize, in the minds of Americans, the entire world order that we live in, which is a dangerous game that they're playing. I don't know if that one specifically will play out unless they really, really double down on it. But, you know, which they are, granted, but I don't think it's to the point where we can have that discussion like we are with Israel right now. But all this war on terror talk, which ironically, this is mind-boggling, all this war on terror talk, these justifications, these talking points, are being espoused to us by the very same people who claim to be different kinds of conservatives from the neocons. The kinds of people who reject permanent war, or at least claim to. All of these same talking points are being just splashed on our face like we didn't go through 20 years of this shit. Now, 20 years for you. I was born at the turn of this. I was born in 2001, all right? I only had to deal with this for about, I'll just say eight. I'll just say 8 years of me actually somewhat paying attention to this. So, God bless the rest of you who were grown adults when this nonsense began, and you've had to deal with this insanity for all 20. You had to be aware of it for all 20. God bless you. But it's the same talking points. And it's the same people who denounce the neocons who are espousing it. It's so revealing. It's so revealing. It's so ironic. It's so juicy. It's drama. It's so juicy. But the consequences will be what they are. Be what they are. The consequences will come. And the consequence of overdoing it with these talking points that people are already tired of, to be quite frank with you, after 20 years of the war on terror, well, shit, 24 years. After 24 years, well, actually it's 23, but whatever. After 23 years of the war on terror, people are already fed up with these war on terror talking points. So to sit there and double down on them on an unpopular war where the side in question is itself a bigger terrorist than Hamas, like, what are we doing? And then I realize, wait a second. If if you overdo it on these talking points, you're just going to turn people off from them. And if the talking points aren't just, you know, Israel specific, but are broader justifications for the war on terror as a whole and our presence in the Middle East as a whole, wait a second. If you burn out the American public on these war on terror talking points for Israel, and then Israel is exposed because they're being exposed right now, not only does Israel getting exposed as a genocidal state, as a genocidal apartheid state, screw you over if you were arguing on behalf of Israel, if you were a Israel simp, but it also screws over your arguments and your talking points. It delegitimizes them. When Israel is exposed as being the Nazi Germany, not, oh, they're fighting against Hamas because they're fighting the good fight against the modern-day Nazis. Like, I was watching this debate that Dennis Prager and some other girl, like, was doing. I don't know her. Like, I had only, and her name is really long, and I didn't, you know, I would struggle even if I did remember. But Dennis Prager, and it was a Zero Hedge debate. Some of you may have seen it. Sagar from Breaking Points was the moderator, and you had Cenk Uygur and Dave Smith on the other side. That's Dave Smith, not Jack Smith. And Dennis Prager is sitting there going on about the Nazis, Hamas is like modern-day Nazis. There's the only difference that I can name between the Nazis and Hamas is that the Nazis tried to hide what they were doing. Hamas celebrates it. It's like, is everything World War II with you people? And how are you going to say that Hamas are the Nazis when you're the one occupying them? You're the one occupying them. You're the superior military power. You're the one occupying them. They are the, if anything, Hamas will be the French resistance or the Polish resistance, or better yet, the Yugoslav partisans. That's what they are, right? They're not fucking Nazi Germany. And the only reason he's saying that is because the people they're at war with is Israel, and Israel is the nation of the Jews. And so you have this co-mingling of Israel, Zionism, and Jews when the two don't necessarily have to overlap. But all the pro-Israel advocates and simps make them overlap, which then forces the opposition to sound anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic, well, I should say anti-Jew, because, you know, Arabs are technically Semites as well. But whatever. All this nonsense and the overplaying of the World War II card, the war and terror cards, the overplaying of these arguments and the eventual burnout that the American public is going to have towards them, it, combined with Israel getting exposed as the genocidal maniac state that it is going to delegitimize all of these simps and all of their arguments. Everything they said in favor of Israel will be mocked and ridiculed. They will lose their legitimacy. Everything that is being said now to defend Israel will lose its legitimacy. And because so many of the justifications are literally copy and pasted from the World War, not the World War. Well, the World War, no, not the World War II, because these are you know, after the fact sort of justifications. But they're copy and pasted from the War on Terror era to justify Israel's war. So when Israel is exposed as being exactly what the Palestinians and the pro-Palestine protesters called them out to be, when Israel is exposed as being the nation committing the genocide, or in, since everything's World War II, when Israel is exposed as being the Nazi Germany, and we wouldn't even get into Ukraine, oh my God, literal Nazis, hello. But when Israel is exposed as being the Nazi Germany of this situation, since everyone wants to compare it to World War II, that's going to delegitimize everybody who sat there and simped for Israel. All of their arguments are going to be rendered invalid. And because so many of these arguments are holdovers and copy and pasted from the War on Terror, the War on Terror's arguments and justifications will be immediately delegitimized. And thus, the War on Terror itself becomes delegitimized. And so the pullback from Israel that America is eventually going to have won't just be for Israel, it'll be for the region as a whole. Especially when the region demonstrates that it doesn't want us there as a collective unit, because that's what it's going to take, you know. when it comes out that actually we could have negotiated with Hamas, actually we could have stopped this, actually it didn't need to get that bad, actually we didn't need to starve out however many Palestinians are going to die from starvation by the end of this. When that comes out, the war on terror is over. I mean, and let's not even get into the usage of the word terrorist. I mean, we haven't heard the word terrorist and terror this much since the war on terror began. Americans are not getting tired. They're tired of it because it's a tired, beaten, dead argument that is now being resurrected for Israel, which means it's already on borrowed time. And so it's only a matter of time. And again, the constant invoking of terror and terrorism and World War II, and it's just like Nazi Germany, it's just like it just like Munich, it's just like Neville Chamberlain all over again. It's going to burn America out. It's going to burn America out. People talk about intervention fatigue. America's the burnout is going to be so far-reaching because it's going to be multifaceted. Ukraine, Israel, and again, because these are happening at the same times, you get a multiplier effect, right? Because the discontent from the one carries over to discontent for the other, and because the discontent is for largely the same reasons, you get an even bigger multiplier effect. When this is over, Americans are going to be done with foreign policy. And this is just another angle, somewhat validating my hypothesis here. Again, we'll have to see how this all plays out. But I think that with the end of the Israel-Gaza crisis, even if there is a state of Israel on the other side of that, Americans are going to be so done with terrorism and Israel. And oh my God, it's World War II. Oh my God, they hate the Jews. They hate the Jews. They hate the Jews. Which is another thing that's being overplayed right now. And we've already seen the Jews in America lose their sacred cow status. It was very subtle, but it happened very quickly. They've already lost sacred cow status. So now what happens when you're labeled as being a genocidal people? I don't know. What I do know is that America's not going to be supporting Israel anytime soon when this is over. Anytime soon. The total discrediting of these talking points, which will come from the total discrediting of Israel and all the people who espouse pro-Israel talking points, it will end the legitimacy of our alliance with Israel. It will end the legitimacy of our presence in the Middle East. And it will end the legitimacy of the war on terror in a fatal and final way. That's what I see coming. That's what I see coming. Oh, but alas, my lovely listeners, that is all I have for you today. I do hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast on my geopolitical podcast. The world is changing. I think we're watching the end of the war on terror in real time with this Israel-Gaza crisis. But no matter how the world changes, we will have fun watching that change together. Now, I've been your host, Hashan Wade, and you've been listening to This Week in Geopolitics. So till we meet again next Monday, Servus.